This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right, for you got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right, because Pastor Dunkley's on the airway.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for being so good. Lord, you're so good to us. We just want to show you we appreciate you, Lord. We just want to let you know we thank you for waking us up this morning. Because if it not been for you, Jesus, I don't know where we'd be. I just want to let you know, Lord, that I love you so much, and I thank you for all the things that you've ever done for me. Because, Lord, you brought me this far, and I just want to say thank you, Lord. If when you give the best of your tell in the world, yes, that the Savior has come. Be not dismayed when men don't believe.
If when you try
And you fail, fail in your trying. Heaves a soul and scar from the work you have done. Oh, pick up your cross, run quickly to meet him, said he. God will understand and say, hey, well done. Oh, when I come to the end of my journey, we and say, hey, well done.
Hello. Come on, choir.
Well, I
to the end. Yes. You'll understand. Yes, he will. And I'm very glad about that. No one else may understand. But then it don't matter what the others, whether they understand or not. As long as I know the Lord, we'll understand. My Lord. Father God, we come in the midst of a great time. As Dr. Stevenson used to say, in the midst of a mountaintop experience, and we give thanks to you for this moment right now. We thank you, Lord, for all of your goodness, your mercy, your grace. We thank you, Lord. You've been good to us. You are good to us. And we thank you, Lord. And as the songwriters say, and you're the only one that really understands us. And we say thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, thou art the potter. I am the clay, yielded still in thy mighty hands.
have thy own way, Lord. Give me preaching power that I may proclaim thy word, thy will, and thy way to thy people. In the glorious, magnificent name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we do pray, amen. To Reverend Lavallee and to all of the saints of God, it is just good once again for us to be here. And had it not been for the Lord on our side, you know, that's good to know that the Lord is on our side. That's good news right there. I don't say nothing else this morning. That'll take you on through the week. Amen. Officers and members of this great church, Mount Olive Baptist Church, I'm grateful and thankful to God that he has allowed me once again to stand before his people and break the bread of life. I like to lift up a familiar passage of scripture from the gospel according to John, chapter 3, the gospel according to John, chapter 3. And he writes that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of a living God. Chapter 3, beginning at verse 1 in the New King James Translation. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, Master, Teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs, works that you do, unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. May God bless the reader and hearer and doer of his divine word. I want to share with you this morning from the thought, no substitute for salvation. No substitute for salvation. Or for being born again. The word substitute means one that takes the place of another, or a replacement. In the pharmaceutical world, there is what they call generic drugs, and they are drugs without the trademark or brand name. A few weeks back, I was suffering from shoulder pain and knee pain. And I ran into someone at Walmart, you know my favorite store, and I shared with them concerning my pain. And I was going to get me a Motrin, which is ibuprofen. That's what it is, but Motrin is the only one that can use that trademark. And this person said to me, Walmart has the same thing, but it's called Equate. And it does the same thing as Motrin and costs much less. I proceeded to get Equate rather than Motrin and found out that it worked real well. But it wasn't Motrin.
It was a substitute, but yet it worked. I get most of my medicine from the VA hospital, and all of their medicines are generic. Very few medicine that they have is not generic. But they work well. Well, I'm still here. Thanks be to God. But all I'm saying is that throughout life, you can find a substitute for practically everything but salvation. There are Gucci bags that are not Gucci, but they are a substitute, they are a duplicate. They look like Gucci. And I guess they wear like Gucci's, huh, ladies? Those that may have them, and Rolex. But it's not the real thing. But all of them look like it. But all I'm saying is that's a substitute. And when you look at the life of Nicodemus, who had power and prestige and position in life, but Jesus let him know that wasn't enough. He had to be born again.
Yes, sir.
Those of us that are diabetics, we have to watch our sugar intake, and we find ourselves using Equal, Sweet and Low, Splendor, and it's not sugar. But Splendor to me now is the closest thing to tasting like sugar. That Sweet and Low leaves an aftertaste in your mouth. Equal leave a little aftertaste. But Splendor works real well for me now. But it's not the real thing. It's a substitute. And I stop by to tell you that there is no substitute for God's plan of salvation for mankind. For Romans 8:5-8 says that, but God demonstrates His love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even in that third chapter of John's gospel, he says in that 16th verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth and keep on believing it shall not perish but have everlasting life. But you got to be born again, born from above, in order to have eternal life. Well, I'm so glad that God fixed that thing, because in Ephesians, the first chapter, we find that we have been adopted. And there's only two ways in order to be a member of a physical family. Is to be born into that family or adopted. No other way. Legally, you have to be born into that family or adopted. Now, I'm a Dunkley, but I'm in the Burrell family, because at the age of about 51 or 52, I was adopted. And so it even shows here with Nicodemus, it don't matter how old you are, you can still be born again if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Salvation is more than a spiritual transaction where the Spirit of God is imparted into us. But it's a transformation of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul tells us in Romans, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. To be born again means that a process has to take place on the inside and displayed on the outside. But I believe that we have too many people that has joined the family rather than being born into the family. There's a difference. Now you can join Mount Olive Baptist Church, but you cannot join the family of God. You got to be born again. You got to be born into His family.
And if you have paid attention, I say, I extend the right or the privilege to you to become a member of the body of Christ. But we use the word join because I guess that's the best that we can put it. But you can join this physical church here. But Jesus said you got to be born again. No substitute for repentancy. Having a change of mind that results in a change of attitude towards sin, whereby my lifestyle, my personal action is changed. Repentance is taking a personal responsibility for one's sin. And when you are born again, there will be a change, a big change in your disposition and your attitude, your personal habits and desires, your principles and your practices. Your lifestyle and your standards, your thinking and expectations, it will change if you've been born again. Salvation is about a lifestyle. Change lifestyle. That takes place on the inside through the word of God impregnating one's heart and the Holy Spirit working on you on the inside that he can work through you on the outside. But he can't go out of you until he get in you. That's like trying to teach a pig to sing. All you going to do is frustrate yourself and the pig. You can't teach nobody how to be a Christian. That has to come naturally from the inside with the Holy Ghost working on them. Nature of a pig is a wild in mud. I don't care how many white suits you put on and peak necktie bow ties on him. If he sees some mud, he's going to jump in it because that is his nature, and you ain't going to change that. And in this text, Nicodemus, the text said it was a man of the Pharisees. In other words, he lived the strictest possible religious life one could live. Obeying religious rules is no substitute for a right relationship with God through faith in Christ. No doubt Nicodemus was a man of high moral character, but he had a deep religious hunger. He had a profound spiritual blindness, and it was something burning on the inside of him that he needed to get to Jesus. Now, for whatever reason you might give, that he, Bible says he came by night. Whatever reason you might give for him coming at night, it may have been that he was so busy being a ruler, a part of the Sanhedrin council, that he had to wait until all of his office work was done, and maybe it was late in the evening when that was done. Or it could have been that he was embarrassed being a teacher himself and yet not knowing about salvation. And you know, a lot of people will not come to Bible study because they feel that they will be embarrassed because they don't know certain things. But let me tell you something. None of us know it all. We all are in the learning process. We are all trying to get to him. We are all trying to learn more about Jesus. And it's in that teaching moment that we are able to ask the profound questions that we don't understand about salvation or about life as it is. For whatever reason, the Bible says he came at night to see Jesus. And when he came, he gave him such a beautiful salutation. He greeted him, Rabbi, a master, a teacher. We know. But who are the we know? He says in the text that we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do the signs of work that you do unless God is with him. But now he's saying we know this. that you are special. So he has to be talking about the Sanhedrin Council. They knew Jesus was from God, but they didn't want to follow Jesus. But what Nicodemus didn't realize, he didn't need a teacher, he needed a savior. Some of us, we don't need a teacher, we need a savior. We've been taught enough already. But some of us, we just know about Jesus, but don't know him because we haven't had a personal experience with him. Nicodemus said, but Jesus cut right across the chase. He went right on to the fact. He said, now, you need to be born again. Some man be born again. He cannot see the kingdom. Yeah, Nicodemus is wondering what he's talking about. You know what you mean? And what Jesus did, he took a birth, which was common as a physical birth. And he's saying that you have to be spiritually born into the kingdom of God. And what he's saying, unless you are born again, you can't go to heaven. You can't see it. You can't enter it. You can't be a part unless you have been born again, born from above. But Nicodemus said, now, I'm an old man. And you saying that I can go back into my mother's womb? How can this be? Surely I can't go back and be born physically over again, but Jesus was talking about the spiritual birth. And then though Nicodemus was a cautious inquirer, a man of spiritual perception, but yet he was spiritually immature. He was spiritually blind, and Jesus wanted him to know that you got to be born again. Just because you're a ruler, just because you're part of the Sanhedrin Council, that don't mean a thing if you have not been born again. Yes, sir. I come by to tell you, my daughter, sometimes you can talk to people and ask them if they've been born again or if they're saved. Oh, yeah. I'm a member of the Straight Street Baptist Church. I've been a member there for so many years. I sing in the choir. I'm a deacon or I'm an usher. But I ask that, are you saved? There is a difference because salvation is not based on a church membership. Salvation is not based on you paying, giving your tithes and offering, and I pray you keep on doing it. Salvation is not based on that. You got to be born again. He said, Nicodemus, so he said, now let me help you with this thing now. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, first he said he couldn't see it. But he said, now you can't even get in. Now there are some discussions of born of water. Now, this water could reflect or represent the clean in action of God's Holy Spirit. In Titus 3:5, it says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Then again, it could be of the physical birth, because a baby is in water for 9 months. But now, it's strange that a baby can be submerged in water for 9 months, and after being born, a teaspoon of water will drown. That's amazing. It could be that we don't know, or it could have been water being representation of being baptized. But at any rate, he said, you must be born again, born of the Spirit. That which is born of flesh, it's flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.